Welcome, everybody, to the next newest episode of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
In the future! Today!
A very special episode, as there was no superhero time this week.
Wait, did we do one New Year's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Last week was the New Year show.
Well, again, Happy New Year, motherfuckers.
Merry Christmas.
I am Pinkcaster Lytrid.
I have returned from the past.
Yes, Kevin is back as well.
To watch the shitty things that suck ass?
No, both things are pretty decent.
I was gonna say, on the flip side of the norm, things went well today.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Things are pretty good.
Cue the roll call!
You fuckface.
We're live! Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster! Ichida's Azeal!
Respecting the source material! Greencaster! Zenshi!
Actually White! Blackcaster! Ransack!
Loyal and Loud! Pinkcaster! Lytrid!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Alright, so this episode we will be discussing the Space Sheriff Crunchman Next Generation movie. And also the first three
Ryan,
episodes.
Don't make me kick you.
Also the first three episodes of Kamen Rider Crunchman.
Fuck you.
No, the Shider movie and Stronger.
Yes,
Shrider's
out. We're
finally
looking at something vintage and source material for me.
I was like, what are you talking about? Oh,
he was
meant
talking
Stronger.
About that a
can
while.
Can we talk about Stronger first?
I'm okay with that.
Alright, sweet.
As we watched it first, yeah.
So,
sure.
Yes,
Lena and I watched the Shrider movie.
So we decided to watch the first three episodes of Kamen Rider Stronger, and oh boy. Stronger is a badass motherfucker.
Indeed.
That toon-rolled ass Kabuto.
I refuse to acknowledge that as a substitute for his actual
amazing. That was my first opinion
amazing.
On Stronger of the first time I ever saw him.
Secretly a Joe star.
I'd be okay with that.
He's a Joe star of the Joe world.
He's got a jacket and a star.
With a rose on it! He's a JoJo!
He's got a jacket and he's like part two and part three rolled into one.
Can you imagine if the concept for JoJo was based on Shigeru Joe?
Oh, God.
And he's really, really, like, fluent at monologuing at the villains before kicking their ass.
Yes, exactly.
I'd just like to imagine that, like, he is, a Joe star, and then his stand is the Stronger armor.
Yeah.
No, the electricity is his stand.
Oh, there you go.
To the Google machine!
It's his secret variation of the ripple.
Right?
Tackle!
Yes.
No, Tackle's his stand!
No. Tackle's too useless to be a stand. Well, no.
No one said it was good.
Hey.
I stand corrected. Tackle is a
corrected.
Bit...
Tackle
Shut
is
up.
A more Tackle's still a more useful stand
no.
than Silver Chariot.
Tackle is... No. Okay, how Tackle...
This room is full of things being said people can't take back.
Tackle has about 5 minutes of good before something happens and she gets kidnapped. But
no.
That's only because it was full of sexist writers back then.
No, Tackle's involvement in the show is...
That
she's
bad.
The distraction. She's distracts the monster
and recon.
Stronger enough time to get to the scene. And then he's like, Tackle, get the fuck out of my way, I'll take care of this.
Which is weird, because every single time an antagonist locked eyes with Tackle, he'd be all like, oh, you must be that electromagnetic girl Tackle that I've heard so much about. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, either they give her, and of course this is always what happens in a Showa series, but they either always give her the, you know, the excuse to say, I'm Tackle, or they'll be like, oh, you're Tackle, I've heard of it.
So what you're telling me is things haven't fucking changed.
Not at
all.
But at least they treat her as a Rider pro tag.
Actually, yeah, I was actually really impressed by how much respect
minus that thing where traditionally she's not considered one.
The writing doesn't take her seriously.
The decade net movies say otherwise.
Yeah, I know. That was where they changed
it
officially.
Here's the thing. The writing takes her seriously. The writers don't.
Yeah.
There's, they take her seriously up to the point where you can see that the writers went, yeah, we don't give a shit no more.
An attempt at an empowering female protagonist in the 70s.
Yes, which is actually sexist really motherfucker Super going, yeah.
Right?
She reminds me of Aphrodite.
Yeah!
Her design reminds me of Aphrodite.
No, it's like it's the same fucking character.
The thing is,
I'm fucking badass. Oops, I got kidnapped again.
The thing is, the conclusion I came to about Tackle is she's here to get the thing the episode needs to get done while Stronger is off fighting Mooks.
Not to mention the fact that she's what only could have passed for pan service in the 70s.
Or not fighting Mooks, however you choose to perceive that.
Yeah.
She's got boob detailing.
I was going to say, the best part is there are tees on her tees.
The titties?
Yes.
No, and her bike looks like she just decided, hey, I'm just going to spray paint my bike yellow and then put cute dots, black dots on it.
She's a ladybug.
Conversely, Stronger's bike was so awesome it had a tail.
We're going to chalk it up to Strongest punches are so strong, he doesn't have to hit the opponent. The shockwave produced from the punch sends them flying.
He's attacking with electromagnetic fields because those fuckers go down before he even touches them.
I like how in the opening you see that one shot of him like magnetically attracting the gun. And I'm like, can we have more of that, please?
No.
In these episodes.
That was too expensive. They could only do it once.
He has video recording abilities. He can apparently repel metal things backwards.
That is the equivalent of the CG in like modern Heisei Ryan
shows. Reverse
the
footage.
They do it once or twice, and that's all they can do.
Here's your Godzakiri box.
And it's the equivalent of a jump cut.
You know what?
Just a jump cut. There's a gun there now.
I completely forgot about Stronger having the whole video powers. And you know what this makes Stronger? Stronger is the Kamen Rider version of Batman in that he has X gadget to solve Y problem.
Speaking of Batman, later on in this podcast we'll be talking about Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stay tuned for that.
But yeah. Okay, so premise of Stronger, at least from the first three episodes that we can glean, apparently this is all the story of the dude who was kidnapped by an evil organization turned into a
not kidnapped. He went willingly.
Yes, he went willingly.
He volunteered.
The first rider to ever volunteer for this shit. He volunteered, escaped, beat the shit out of a bunch of people.
Technically, not the first to volunteer.
Which one volunteered?
Technically, D3 was insanely willing.
Oh yeah,
but only because it was Ichigo and Nigo doing the surgery.
Well, yeah, point.
It wasn't the evil... This is the first guy to ever go up to the evil Nazi organization and be all like, hey, I'd like to be one of your, like, Aryan superhumans, please.
Yeah, make me a Jinzo Ningen.
Exactly.
And now, I have powers now, and I'm gonna proceed to fuck your shit.
Exactly.
You killed my brother, prepare to die!
Exactly.
I love how he just laughs Montoya in the face of the leader.
Inigo Montoya.
Well, the leader's pretty hilarious.
Oh, yes.
He's a thumb with an eye drawn on it.
Mr. Titan!
But the setup of the show is basically just this guy staying in a hotel with the supervillain staying about three doors down.
That's amazing!
that was so good!
So, Mr. Titan will just be sitting,
in his room.
And
now we know where the inspiration came for that after hours... After V.
He'll
be sitting in the lobby enjoying a drink. He'll just be looking out the window. He'll see Shigeru just like riding on his bike. That was Shigeru Joe. Fuck!
Stronger's around.
He's on to us.
He's following my plot.
Meanwhile, he's just driving around like Derpty Doo.
Herp-de-derp, I don't know anything.
No,
Stronger's up.
Shigeru Joe is a charismatic motherfucker.
Yeah, Tackle does all the footwork, and Stronger just comes in and is all like, I'm Stronger, and I'm a badass!
In episode 2, he rescues...
I'm here doing
this,
things!
He beats this monster that apparently can possess people, and he, like, gets... He saves this little girl's father.
They can all do that, Lane.
Yeah, okay. So he saves her, whatever, and then she's like, oh yeah, my dad's alive. You just see him turn around, look up, and he's just like, yeah, I did shit. Puts his coat over his right shoulder, just looks over the camera, and he's just like...
You know what I have to say? I absolutely love how every time he gets into a fight and he hasn't transformed yet, he literally just drops his jacket on the floor, beats the crap out of the Mook.
And then
consistently picks his jacket back up again, slings it over his shoulder before he moves on to the next set of moves.
No, the first thing he does is whip his jacket at a dude.
How else do you ensure that no blood gets on your jacket?
Also, yeah. He wears his logo.
I'm like, he predates Kuga in the whole wearing my emblem on my clothes thing.
Is denim.
Oh, is it?
And he has different colors. Yeah. Like, he has a blue shirt.
Sorry,
he
rides
shirt.
A motorcycle, I just assumed.
So the villains of this series are all based on...
Black Satan.
Yes. If ever there's like, we need the most evil of acronyms ever. What words can we put together to make the most evil thing in the world? Well, what's always portrayed as the color of evil? Black. What's the most evil thing you can think of? Satan. Black Satan. Awesome.
That is BS.
Yes, they are pretty they are pretty BS.
But it is pretty full of shit.
Carlos.
that is more or less the only mentality that could have gone into Black Satan. Just like, what's the most evil thing we can think of? Black Satan.
The mooks are pretty cool.
Just
pretty cool.
Just
that tea is audible.
Yeah. Just going off of what Kevin said a minute ago. No, you have to stick with continuity. Hashtag shift Carlos.
Well done, sir. Well
that
done.
Joke gave me fox die.
These monsters are all based off of a combination of machines and animals.
But for some reason,
they start off as Yerk brain slugs.
It's a
I don't know.
Also, the first one was a spring.
It was a kangaroo slinky.
Yeah. It was a kangaroo slinky.
And it had a baby kangaroo that shot its head out with a slinky.
And shot lasers.
Yeah.
Also lasers.
And shot missiles out of its nose.
Hashtag also lasers.
Yes. Also... The wolf day, what was it, like, Rokami or
Okamin.
Something?
Okamin.
Okamin.
Yeah.
And I sit there just like, oh god, that was the most teenage girl-sounding fucking monster name I've ever heard.
No, you know what? It was a pun, because it's like, Okamin, as in, oh, come in, because he's possessing them.
No.
May have been unintentional, but I'm declaring it.
They can all do that.
Okay, it was the first time we saw them do it.
Fair. I just sat there, I'm like, oh hey, Okami, the word for wolf.
Yeah.
Oh, you added an N to it like a Japanese schoolgirl.
Yep.
Okay.
what was the other monster? I forget which one it was.
Oh, the third one?
The third episode?
Oh, scorpion monster.
Right, yeah.
The one that looked like a weird mix between a biological interpretation of Sawsword and Hibiki.
Yeah.
Like, I looked at the face and I was like,
just that shot.
Well, in this case, wouldn't it have been the place I got the
strongest fighting
from
the scorpion, because we never got his name, I don't think. And he's just like, he's like, oh, I gotta escape. Shear, dig.
Jump cut.
Just jump cut.
Jump cut, he's gone.
Jump cut, he's gone.
70s.
70s.
75.
Because back in the day, jump cuts were a special effect.
Mm. You know what else is totally 70s? What? All those bell bottoms they were wearing.
Oh, dear.
Hey.
Sorry, awkward cut there. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, 70s. Yeah. Bell bottoms as fuck.
70s as
yes.
Fuck.
Fucking Shigeru Joe rocks the bell bottoms.
Also, just that thing. This was a 1975 set show. Right?
Yep.
It's been 40 fucking years since Stronger, you guys.
Rest in peace, Stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, indeed.
I would have loved to have seen him in a Tyson movie.
I was bummy about that because Stronger is, to this day, my favorite show or writer.
Wasn't? No, V3 is still around. I was just...
Yeah.
It was the director of V3 that passed away in the last couple of years.
Stronger was the one that, back when we did Common Jolider, I said if Stronger got a reboot, I would watch it more than anything.
Watch the ever-moving piss out of it.
I'm going to keep watching Stronger because the series is very awesome. And it's like, the way it's shot and everything is very interesting because I've never like watched a show or series before. Because my favorite show writer is Amazon, but I... want to continue watching all of Amazon.
Let me know whenever you watch more Stronger.
I have all
of
Amazon subbed.
Cool. The mooks are pretty interesting.
The mooks are the funniest part of the show.
Ichi lost his shit when they're going in to do the surgery for Stronger, and they just come in with lab coats. Ichi lost his shit.
They're heartless.
Yeah!
They're just black, completely black clad mooks with little pointy ears.
They're Neo Shadows!
They're
almost Neo Shadows.
They're like really skinny Neo Shadows.
Really long, lanky fucking Neo Shadows.
Oh, okay. You two need to talk about the old man. So, in episode 3, there's. The premise of episode 3 is Black Satan decided, hey, we're going to kidnap children, turn them into cyborgs, and use them again.
Because that was a standard plot in the short.
They try to form an evil child.
But while we're watching this with Lane, Lane's sitting there like, oh, I love this guy. He's a good character. I really like him. And then he introduces himself, and me and Paul lose our shit.
So in the original Kamen Rider, Takashi Hongo had himself a mentor who ran a bike shop that taught him everything he knew about bike riding. His name was Tachibana Tobe. This guy is Tachibana Tobe.
Yeah, and I'm like, I knew Tachibana was a thing.
Yeah, me and Paul heard the name and almost lost our shit because we both knew who that was.
This is
was
like,
is this actual Tachibana Tobe from the Ichigo continuity?
I remember reading from a while back. He's actually been in a lot of the show era things, just being a consistent mentor character.
So he's Zordon.
Yes, he is the one who taught Takashi Hongo how to ride his bike.
Cool.
Yes. And he made a cameo in this show, and we were just like, oh my god! Because the Showa era stuff all ran in a sort of continuity with one another. They all existed in the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is why Kamen Rider Spirits was a thing. A very, very good Showa era Kamen Rider manga. Not from the Showa era, but set in the Showa
era. Yeah, that was done fairly.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really good.
I remember back when I first started kind of delving into Showa, the first thing you showed me was V3's arc.
Because I knew you liked V3, and while I was reading that, I was just like, oh, this is a really awesome fucking chapter, and I know Kevin would probably fucking love it. Here's a chapter of manga about V3.
And it was awesome, because it just takes Showa Rider and kind of puts a Heisei twist on it in that here's what the writer could do were it not a low-budget show from the 70s.
Exactly.
I think that's pretty cool.
And I dug it. It was just, specifically, the double typhoon. It is just, he does a thing with his belt, and this absolute fucking hurricane shoots out of his belt, and he can only do it, like, what, once an hour?
No, he can do it, and then he's without unable to transform for the next... I think it was an hour or two.
It just, that is his thing, and it blows his load, and he dehenches.
So it's Pegasus form.
Potentially. Pegasus is more just that puts an incredible strain on, and he can only hold it for so long.
But that's just it. It kind of puts a greater sense of turmoil on the rider while giving him these super awesome, cool powers that he couldn't have otherwise.
So meanwhile, with Spirits, I really enjoyed the fuck out of the arc for Nego. Just because I thought it really fleshed out his character wonderfully.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, this is actually really cool.
This is our Showa episode where we show our Showa appreciation.
Yeah.
And honestly,
I've watched like a couple of movies up to this point, and that's about it.
I'm just gonna make sense.
Where we Showa appreciation. Episode title.
There you go.
Showa appreciation.
So
Showa.
Let's sort of glide gently back on the rails here a little bit. So let's go through one by one and give our final opinions on what we've seen so far of Stronger and say whether or not you'd continue watching. So let's do this in order. So Redcaster, go first.
Fun show. I think it's got some... I really like where it's going, and I just really respect the material on this. So I'm going to... I'd probably stick with it and keep going.
Cool. I'm pretty much the same.
I like laughing at those 70s special effects.
I know, right? I was going to say, I think this show has exactly the right level of camp, considering when it was shot.
Yep.
And it's got an interesting... some of the other characters besides Shigeru Joe I find really interesting. Like the mooks. I find them the funniest characters on the show. And seeing...
Bunch of mooks in lab coats.
Exactly.
Just still wearing the
fucking... Oh, and the one with the banjo. That was hilarious. The guy just... The main villain with the binoculars just watching Shigeru Joe. Just like, I'm gonna just look at this. Oh, he's gonna figure us out. I gotta go now. He's been standing next to a mook in a fucking vest, a fucking straw hat, and a banjo. And it's that... He's just standing there playing the banjo next to the main villain. And I'm just sitting there like, the fuck am I looking at?
But yeah, because of the whole... the hero and villain in the same hotel thing going on, I would keep watching just for the moment where they realize they've been neighbors the whole time.
That's such pretty a sure great the main, premise,
I'm pretty
though.
Sure the main villain knows.
No, yeah, I mean for him to find out.
He does. I just think that's such a great premise. It's just like, they're both in a hotel, and the main villain is like five doors down.
Kanpai Senshi after V.
Nice.
It's a Sentai parody starring the guy who played Kuga in Decade as the Red Ranger.
And the guy who played Drake and Shin
V3. As the Blue Ranger.
Mm-hmm. And it's got Yellow Owl? It's got a dude like that.
It's basically Sentai team going to a bar after the most recent monster fight.
The Green Ranger's always playing his DS.
And the bar is owned by the main villain.
I love that. It has absolutely nothing to do with the actions or exploits of the team. It is their after-hours trip to the bar.
Yeah, everyone listening, go look up Kanpai Senshi After 5. We'll probably do a feature discussion about some point.
I enjoy what I've seen. I can't find any subs past the first couple episodes.
I know, right?
It's just that for something so satirical, it's, like, actually really respectable to what...
The genre?
Well, that's just it, to what a group of adults fighting crime might
do in their off hours.
I mean, mind you, yes, there was a ass full of camp in there, but it's just real people doing things and not just... Everything's sunshine and puppy dogs. We didn't just do anything.
Morale boost!
Exactly.
Okay, anyways, let's get back on track with the stronger opinions.
But Future wasn't on this week.
Pool.
Final
thoughts on Stronger.
As you all know, I like to look at show. Like, part of the reason why I love Tokusatsu is basically just looking at the show and using your imagination to look past the really shitty special effects, and that's why I keep... I always sound a little bit sarcastic when I'm talking about New Toku because I don't have as much respect for it as I do Old Toku, because with New Toku, I'm starting to see a lot of the CGI special effects bleeding into it, and that's inevitable. But I don't want to say it's looking too good, but it doesn't have that same sort of, like... It doesn't have that same sort of behind-the-curtain badassery that you can appreciate that Showa had. You can look at the camp of Showa and say... It's so campy for the time that it was made, but there's a really, really badass adult story being told behind this curtain of camp. With Heisei, with Gaim, there was that badass story being told behind the curtain of camp. In most Neo-Heisei shows nowadays, there's no substance behind the camp curtain. And that's my biggest problem with it. So yes, I'm going to continue to watch Stronger because it's pretty much the epitome of that. It's a really campy, old-timey looking show, but it's got some mature themes behind it. Like, the main character, Shigeru Joe, is a badass and a half, if not just because of the fact that he willingly and smilingly gave up his humanity simply for the idea of revenge.
I love how the mooks kind of walked him in like they were restraining him. Mm-hmm. Just have a go, let the fuck go. I'm here willingly.
Yeah.
Just like the audience watches the new writer get pulled into the evil organization's base. Like, oh, they're going to modify him like they usually do and brainwash him. Wait, no fuck, he's here willingly? What? That's new.
I like the various designs in the show. For what Stronger is and for how old that costume is, it's great. Looks really, really good.
Those football pads with the paper mache over.
Doesn't even matter. Who cares? That's filmmaking.
I know.
That's
exactly.
That's ingenuity.
That's what Kamen Rider was.
It makes it great.
It's they just made the suit out of whatever the fuck they had available.
Exactly.
The term is kit bash.
I like Mr. Titan or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, Mr. Titan.
I love just the mask.
Yeah. I laughed every time I saw it.
And how he took off his blazer just to put on another blazer.
Yeah, exactly. One of the mooks touches him, he stabs him with his cigarette, walks up to his, like, takes off his jacket, walks up to his closet, opens his closet, pulls out the exact same blazer and puts it on.
Yep.
Like, you fucking guy, you dirtied my blazer.
This guy just don't give a fuck.
No, he don't give a fuck. And he's got a really cool form-fitting head helmet, and, like... The show's just really cool for what it is, and if you can, a real fan of Tokusatsu can look past even the shittiest of special effects and see what the story that they're trying to tell is, and this is just the most true example of that. It's an adult story being told with very kiddie aesthetics, and with what they had at the time, but it's a respectable story, and I'm going to keep watching it.
I feel, I like it. To kind of expand on the idea you were trying to convey there, mm-hmm. based off of what you said, entirely based on what I've seen personally, something I believe that is on the threshold of that, like on the cusp of that integrity versus new age, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. flair, mm-hmm. is GoGo 5. Okay. It's an incredibly good modernization of, or, you know, for the time anyway, while still keeping that sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? That
trueness?
Exactly. Like you said, just the very, you can tell they put the effort into it without having to rely on special effects.
Just for people listening, for
while
clarity,
still making something of it.
GoGo 5 is the Sentai that became Lightspeed Rescue.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. I should watch GoGo 5.
I think it became my favorite Sentai.
Mm-hmm. It's got the whole family dynamic going on too, right?
Yes.
So yeah. Anyone
and you liked Magi Ranger.
I'm like, anyone who watched Magi Ranger would probably like it.
It's another like family Sentai.
In the end, Tokusatsu is basically just best story for most effort but least flash. Like it's all story, no flash. The panache comes from how good they can make the shit that they're putting together at the moment. It's very much just, it's low-budget filmmaking, but it's low-budget filmmaking for the sake of highlighting the things in filmmaking that should be highlighted over the aesthetic. And in the end, I love the Showa era, and this is, I can understand why people say this is one of the best Showa era Kamen Rider series is, so yeah, I'm going to give it a watch. I'm hoping it might replace Black for me. Black's my favorite Showa era. So let's see if it beats Black for me.
Dem's fighting voids.
I know, right? Black's gonna be hard to beat.
Alright, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already been a fan of Stronger kind of prior going into this. I have a little of a larger background knowledge of the show. That is to say, I am watching it and will obviously continue, seeing as I am further than these three episodes. But no, I love Stronger. Shigeru Joe is hands down, like, one of the coolest people in just Kamen Rider, period. It's like you say, he has this panache of just, and we talk about the suit design, but I do believe he foils Tendo in a certain way. In a very, it's of the times that he's got that attitude where he comes into it, he tells you who he is, full well knowing he's the shit, and then gives you the business. Yeah. It's their presentation that's a little different, whereas Tendo is, I am the chosen one, you know, coming to give you the business,
yeah.
Whereas Shigeru is, you killed my father, prepare to die. But it's just them very just, in both cases, just, my name is Shigeru Joe. My name is Tendo Soji. We know! You've told us! You can stop! But just very, nope, they believe they have to announce their entrance before giving you hot dickings, as it's only polite.
Very well put.
But yeah, just, again, not entirely just the suit or how we choose to perceive that, but just, I believe the characters are foiled in some respect.
Certainly.
Just through and through.
Both based on rhinoceros beetles for a superficial comparison.
Well, yeah.
Both have, well, okay, not similar backstories, but similar attitudes.
Well, exactly.
Extremely similar.
They're both badasses who just don't give fucks.
You ever think that maybe we like Stronger because it all started with Kabuto, and we liked Kabuto because it had elements of Stronger in it?
That could be a thing.
If that's the case, that is like
Stronger,
subconscious,
best
tier meta.
Well, they did reference Stronger in Kabuto, so they could have written it with that in mind.
Oh, Milo Stronger.
Yeah, there was a bit at the end of one episode where they're strongest. In a theater, and Misaki is showing Tendo an episode of Stronger, and he's like, this is Stronger, he was a rhinoceros beetle rider before you. And Tendo literally says, Kore wa Stronger, Ore wa Strongest.
Yes. He's Stronger, I'm Stronger.
Yes.
Indeed.
But it could just be that both Stronger and Kabuto embody what we wound up liking about tokusatsu in the first place.
But that's just it. I found that getting into Showa, I gravitated to V3 just because I thought he was really cool and compelling. And then kind of shifting gears onto Stronger with Shigeru and Stronger as a rider, it's not about liking one more versus the other. I did end up liking Stronger more, but it was just how I liked them differently in how I felt V3, while being really cool and really powerful and badass, he was really formulaic in for what it meant to be a Kamen Rider, which is kind of hard to break the mold when you're the third ever and we're trying to foundate something. But to go into Stronger, which rider was Stronger?
Fifth one.
He was the fifth, yeah. Right? They had something to...
Was he right after V3 Riderman?
Yes.
Well, Riderman was the secondary.
Wasn't
X? X was immediately after V3, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so then he's the sixth.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just a matter of they had time and opportunity to go, okay, this worked, let's start adding themes or, you know, changing it up a bit.
It also didn't help that V3, even in its construction as a show, was a functional sequel to the first.
No, absolutely.
It felt, even though it was a separate show altogether, it felt like something that was part of the first one. So if you didn't watch the first one, V3 was going to be a little foreign to you.
Which I feel is a note that Heisei can't afford to take these days, but probably should look into.
I would...
But that's just it. Yeah. Let's ignore Gaim. Let's ignore Kabuto. The idea of generating a 2-season show for any Heisei writer sounds like a good idea because of what we know it could be, using examples like Kabuto and Gaim. These days, it's going to be the biggest toy commercial you can imagine.
It'll be Final Fantasy 13.
Well, yeah.
And 13
well,
too.
You gotta keep in mind that it's not like they haven't tried. I mean, Akita was kind of a Kuga sequel. Kind of. In the fact that, hey, this was designed after Kuga.
Yeah, but that worked.
But they were also creating a new franchise. And
yeah.
At the beginning of the Showa era, when they were creating Kamen Rider Ichigo Nigo and V3, they were basically forming the foundation for a franchise anyway. So that was... You could chalk that up to simply laying down the foundation of the mythology of the series.
But that's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm talking
about.
And
let's not also forget that when they created Kamen Rider and Kamen Rider V3, they were basically creating a show that they didn't realize was going to go on for decades.
No, of course not.
They were just building their first story, and then they started spinning off it. Like any other show.
Yes, there are going to be toys. There will always be toys of anything you make. Kuga and Agito were not toy commercials.
Yeah.
No,
obviously.
They were cop dramas.
Exactly. So that is to say, yes, Kuga and Agito were the most Showa of the Heisei series,
but
we saw a sequel series work.
The thing is, like, you're saying, like, yes, if they made a sequel now, it would be a huge toy commercial, but let's look at what Gaim was. Yes, it was a toy commercial, but it was also a really good show. I think that if they buckled down and had the right staff and the right writers, like, not even just Urobuchi, anyone, as long as we know that they're talented, I think they could pull off, if they had a properly serialized story like Gaim did and then led into a sequel, I think that if they worked hard at it, it could be good. And sure, it could still be a toy commercial. So was Gaim.
I don't think they could sequelize Gaim anymore.
I'm not saying
I believed in the potential of what could have been a Gaim season 2.
I'm not saying
not with how they ended it.
I'm not saying necessarily a Gaim sequel.
Fair enough.
I'm saying if they started another show that was really, really well written, like Gaim, and then did a sequel to it that was equally or better well written, it could be successful.
Sure. And you're right. The fact that they are selling toys by these shows is not the problem. And you're right. Gaim was a fantastic show while still being... I'll disagree with you when you say it's a toy commercial. It featured a lot of things.
I'd like to point you to Lane's bedroom.
I'd like to point you to the fact that those things are all plot devices. They are...
That's what I mean, though. That's an example of how a good show and a toy commercial can coexist.
But that's the difference between a good show and a toy commercial. A good show, like Gaim, features the things and makes them interesting and intriguing plot devices. A show like Ryuki basically brings out a new gadget every single week, gives them little to no importance in
the
grand scheme
of things. Hey guys, you maybe want a trading card game?
That's exactly why Forza has been considered a failure. Because
the Lock Seeds versus the Switches.
Yeah.
What purpose did the Switches serve? Not more than to give Forza a new thing to do.
He did use the magic hand to grab her and stop her from falling once, and we never saw it again.
Whereas the Lock Seed fruits are the most paramount thing in the entire series.
Well, exactly.
Yes, they make great toys to sell to kids. And yes, the weaponry makes great toys to sell to kids. But they weren't put into the show with the mentality of being toys. Maybe to a certain degree.
Oh, so now I see what you're saying by toy commercial.
Yeah, maybe to a certain degree. Some corporate bigwigs were looking at all of the opportunities for toys and going, ho, look at all this money we can make. Wow. But the writing staff was looking at all these things and going, all right, how can we make the Sonic Arrow really badass? Or what kind of mythology can we put behind the Lock Seeds? Or
I don't think
how
the writing staff would have anything to do with the design of the Sonic Arrow.
No, not the design, but like its placement in the story.
Fair. I'd like to hope if like the toy design team and the writing team had more proper synergy like we had with Gaim, Kamen Rider could become a truly beautiful thing.
Honestly, it's just, yes, it was intensely marketable in the way that the show was put together and the aesthetic that the show was putting forward, but that wasn't the point behind its creation, and that's what made Gaim a fantastic show. When I say toy commercial, I mean things like Ryuki.
You mean things that are put in for the sake of selling a toy and nothing further.
Exactly. They had so many riders in Ryuki only to sell action figures. They wanted to sell belts with arc decks and stuff like that.
I wouldn't say Ryuki so much because they technically all used the same belt.
Yeah, they did, but they had different design decks.
Yeah. But we could argue forever about what was a toy commercial.
But at the same time, you cannot deny that in the new Neo Heisei generation, a lot of them have been those toy commercial shows.
Absolutely.
And Gaim is an indicator of what makes Toku good in the fact that, yeah, it was marketable. It made something marketable, but it also was well written. It's a different situation with Showa, because back in the day, you weren't marketing toys. You were just trying to make a fascinating-looking show.
And on top of that, Gaim kind of pulled a little thing where they took a really popular anime writer and got him to do it, thus getting a lot of attention for the show and people watching it that would never have touched Kamen Rider.
I think we've gone, like, on way too far of a tangent at this point.
Yeah. We're just having a debate about the nature
Can
of
we let show. Lane have his turn to speak about Stronger now?
No,
that's fine.
On a closing note, if Gaim got a season 2, I would go bankrupt.
Yeah, I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Lane.
That's all right. No, it's good that you guys are getting into discussions like this. It's great. Just I wish I had more to talk about because I'm not like intelligent when talking about like what you guys talk about. Anyways,
pity party.
Anyways, I started into Kamen Rider into Heisei. So when I was 17, 18, if I would have seen something like Stronger or Ichigo, I'd have been like, no, that's old. Why the hell would I watch this? The effects are crappy and everything. But watching those first 3 episodes of Stronger and, like, maybe some other episodes of Showa, I've shown that, you know, something that is, even though it's old, doesn't mean that it's, you know, it doesn't live up still.
You gotta harness the power of Green Castle.
Exactly. So, like...
You gotta use your imagination.
So, like...
the source material.
So, yeah, Shigeru Joe, Phasma, like, I could see him as maybe being, like, the Doctor Who of Ryder, because, like, you know, he has, like, his companion that's always getting into trouble
who
and stuff.
Who he horrendously mistreats!
And he always has to come and rescue her in the end and stuff like that.
Isn't that Decade?
Yes, that too. And except in Decade, she came back and stabbed him in the fucking gut.
Because Decade let him.
Because
let
she's a freaking yandere bitch and he deserves it.
Anyway, regardless, though, like...
What he said.
The effects may be cheesy, but honestly, like, at the end of the first episode when he killed Gengar or whatever like that, I just saw, like, the explosion Gengar. That he had.
Did you pick up on that, too?
Yeah.
The first monster was named Gengar. So, Gengar. A, that's the Japanese name for Gengar, the Pokemon, and B, it was a pun because it was a kangaroo.
But,
That led a just gang.
When Stronger used his rider kick on him, and you just saw him fall down, and then I just, you see the explosion, like, the explosion was so well shot and everything. And I really like that. But then the other explosions from the other monsters in the later episodes, they were just smoke. It was just, but,
they blew their punch on episode one.
Pilot episode.
Yeah.
The story, I think, is really interesting, but I'm watching it mainly just because, I like Stronger's abilities. I like that his suit's kind of based off a football player's outfit, because he apparently, Shigeru used to be a football player before he became a cyborg. And,
talk about a promotion.
What was the last thing? Oh, yeah. His abilities, Shigeru himself, but I'm gonna keep watching this, because, you know, I'm starting to slowly get into Showa. I want to watch all of Amazon, because Amazon, like, right now is my favorite writer. And I'm sorry, Paul, I love you, but I actually want to watch Black RX. Because I like...
Why would you watch Black RX without watching Black?
Well, I'll probably watch Black first, and then I'll watch Black RX. Huh?
You and me need to sit down and watch Amazon, because I'm actually really interested to watch it myself. I've got the whole thing subbed.
Violent motherfucker.
I'm in.
I've got the whole thing subbed. I've got been interested to watch it. I haven't found the time to sit down and watch it. We need to all just get together and do it.
Sweet. Amazon session's awesome. But yeah, if you guys are interested, watch the first three episodes of Kamen Rider Stronger and just see what you think. Like, he's fucking cool.
I'll tell you what, I'll watch episodes 1 to 3 of Amazon with you for the podcast, and I will watch no further.
And we're gonna watch this end up like that time I showed you Elfin Lee.
Amazon!
Yeah! Yeah! Uh-huh. Probably.
Yeah.
Kamen Rider Tarzan.
That's what I was gonna say.
Wasn't that because it was the show where they said to the creator of Kamen Rider, do whatever the fuck you want. Oh, okay.
It's because he had originally... And do we have time for me just to tell the Amazon story here?
You mean how it's thanks to Amazon Super Sentai is a thing?
Yeah!
Well, okay. Here's the story. Basically, when Ishinomori first pitched his series to the TV studios, they thought it was way too violent and, what he pitched was Skullman.
Yeah.
The TV stations thought it was way too violent. They didn't like the idea of an anti-hero. They thought audiences weren't ready for that at that time. Which, frankly, I understand. That was the 70s.
Yeah.
It's like people weren't ready for the idea of an anti-hero as the main character of a show. All that stuff. But they were like, we like where you're going with this. So if you tweak this, 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 and this, we'll probably give you a show. So he went back to the drawing board, tweaked everything, and Kamen Rider was born.
This was right after Stronger, wasn't it?
Hmm? Oh, that was
no, Amazon was before Stronger.
Oh, yeah, Amazon was just before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stronger was when it came back.
Oh, okay.
Which was like very back to basics kind of thing.
And it came back even stronger.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. It came back as a very back to basics. No, this is what we did that was popular. We're going to do that again.
We'll give you what you like.
But basically, as you know, the first Kamen Rider series went for like 100 episodes or something in that vicinity. V3, X happened. And you know, so here we are.
I miss shows like that went on for like hundreds of episodes. Yeah. These days, anime all stop at 13 and 26 and 50.
You get the odd one that goes for 50, maybe 65, but not too far.
One Piece
after
is still
that.
Going strong. 676 episodes,
except for stuff like One Piece, Fairy Tale, things like that.
I need to catch up on Fairy Tale. Anyways,
like I'm saying, that after all the success Kamen Rider kind of took out of those first handful of series. They went to Ishinomori, and he's like, okay, you know what? People are digging it. People love this. We're going to give you free reign on the next one. Do whatever you want.
Okay.
And and so Ishinomori pulled an Ishinomori, and Amazon happened.
Ichi, will it make you feel any better if I dub it with a really classy Phil Collins score?
That might keep me interested.
Fine. Damn it, Paul. Stazzy's fucking just ripping the shit out of a monster. You'll be in my...
Oh, look at it.
No, it's like, your heart will be in me.
Y'all go
outside.
I'm not actually going to do that.
All right. Yeah, but yeah, basically the end of that story is Amazon got cut short because it was canceled.
And how far in did they get? How many episodes?
25?
I think it almost made it to 30. It was almost like decade.
It was 25, 26.
Took them 30 weeks to realize this was not going well.
It was... Kamen Rider was such a popular franchise, they didn't want to just cancel it. And then the ratings way the fuck down. And the studio and the TV stations just went, nope.
Why is that Kamen Rider ripping that monster's head off my head?
Yeah, yeah. Kamen Rider Amazon, where he ripped the monsters apart, ate them.
Because Jesus is mad at you, Timmy.
Yes. And so it got canceled, and the TV spot was left empty for a bit, and they needed something to fill it. Super Sentai was born.
I proudly own an Amazon figure out of my room, and I'll never sell it.
Think what kind of world we'd live in if fucking Amazon didn't get canceled. There'd be no Super Sentai
Power Rangers. There'd be no Western exposure.
We wouldn't have found it.
No, we would have had Kamen Rider adapted.
Now you
America.
Have to watch it out of a sense of duty.
Oh.
Masked Rider would have gone on longer than it should have. We would have had more Furbus. Yeah,
Furbus. Kamen Rider Furbus.
No, Furbus would have had a hot girl form.
That too.
Alright, anyway, let's move on to some shishishishida.
This really is Show Appreciation Week.
Mm-hmm. Alright.
Speaking of old shit.
Yeah, so this week we also watched the Space Sheriff.
Uchu Keji. We've been over this. He's Uchu Keji Keva. Kevan, that's the name.
Uchu Keji Scheider, Next Generation.
The final movie in the trilogy that started with the Gabon reboot.
Yeah, Generation.
Why do I have to be the red one? We found out
who the budgie chick is, and I became a furry. No, I didn't.
Okay, so when we talk about the horror girl, I'm gonna list off a couple other roles that she has done/is doing.
A role she's doing very soon.
Yeah. So this one stars I forgot the actor's name, but it's the guy who played Date Akira, aka Kamen Rider Birth and Kamen Rider.
It's Kaga something. I'm gonna look up the cast list.
Yeah,
his name is Abs.
Yeah, pretty much.
This was Date's Abs, the movie.
Yeah, we actually had an excuse to have his shirt ripped off and everything.
You can grate cheese graters on these abs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yep. So, as this movie starts out, traditionally as it should in a space sheriff movie, it starts out with Gavon in the beginning, because, he's the main one. Because
there's a continuity.
Yes, I know, but no, everyone starts... Like if Gavon started with Gavon. No, I know. Anyways, so he's investigating some shit. He almost finds Horror Girl, but then apparently Horror Girl got to the, like, fucked off first, set up a bomb.
It was one of her false
locations. Yeah, it was one of her false locations. And then Secretary Alina calls and says, oh, the investigation's being suspended, come back here. Meanwhile, on Planet Bird at the Space Sheriff Space Police Headquarters...
Meanwhile, that's immediately afterwards, because it took the time for Gabon to go from point A to point B.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah. Jump cuts.
And also, just to jump in there, the name of the actor is Hiroaki Iwanaga.
There you go.
The guy who played Kamen Rider Birth, and Master of All Things Ab.
Yes. We once again see Commissioner Nicholas Gordon. Yes.
That's the character's name, Commissioner Gordon.
The head of the space sheriff Gordon.
Yeah, I'm assuming he was in Gavon, and he was in Charlie Bunn also.
He was in both!
Yeah.
I never thought his name until this movie. Apparently it's Gordon.
So apparently his...
Is there a space sheriff Batman?
Yes. So his daughter, Hilda, quote-unquote, is apparently been kidnapped, and it's like, oh, if you continue this investigation, Gavon, my daughter will be killed, or blah, 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 blah. So he's like, fine. Meanwhile, we cut to Scheider, and he's doing some undercover shit, hitting on chicks and stuff like that. Gets waited on by the singer of the
Come on,
yeah, the guy who sings the themes, a.k.a. the voice of the O's driver.
Yeah, yeah. Akira Kushida is the actor's name.
A.k.a.
He sung all of the themes for these movies so far.
The guy who, a.k.a. the guy who sung the first Godanar opening is me and Paul.
And he sung Dragon Road for Kamen Rider Zetto.
That too.
It's like Cross.
It's Cross, that's it.
Yeah. So he begins...
And he's just, and he ends his cameo with a... I have no idea what's going on here. Throws up the horns, winks at the camera.
I'm like, he's got to be someone important. Is he the last Shider? No, apparently the last Shider's dead, and that's why we get another cameo.
That's why we get a cameo from Annie.
Rest in peace, Die. Rest in peace.
By the way, another another interesting actor that
his name is Die.
Yeah.
Oh.
Die died.
Oh shit.
Hold on.
Another interesting actor. The voice of Pita Pita, the fucking squid monster,
is Ryutaros.
Kenichi Suzumura!
Because I took one look at him and I'm like, voice of Momotaros?
Close.
I'm not totally off.
Close, but you're way off.
I'm just sitting there like, I'm not totally wrong, but I'm wrong.
So Pita Pita is doing a deal with whatever the singer's name is. Then we get introduced to Shider's girlfriend... / partner, Space Sheriff, Tammy, who, at first, I did not like at all. Like, I found her super fucking annoying.
I was sitting there like,
She's space Akiko.
But by the end of this fucking movie, oh my god, I fucking love her.
I'm sorry, I'm still kind of iffy on her, even at the end of the movie.
Yeah, she bugged me
a
lot.
She's Akiko.
She had the face of Amy from Curiouser with the attitude of Akiko.
Yep.
And at the end of end game, her fighting style involves shoving her ass in the Mook's faces.
She went all Fairymon on them.
She was butt bumping. Come on now.
She went all Fairymon.
She wasn't queening them.
And then
she was just butt bumping.
And then one of them tried to grab her tits, and she fucking slapped them.
That was great.
Because she's a teenage girl who's playing up the whole, oh no, don't molest me. I'm going to beat the shit out of you because I'm a super strong.
Dame, Oni-san.
So Tammy is apparently
no older brother.
An alien. She's a member.
Why did your brain go there?
I don't know. I've been around Dave too much.
She hails from the planet.
I'll accept that answer.
Ultri. What was it called? Utrius or something?
Sorry?
Like that? What was the name of her planet?
Ultura.
Ultura.
Yeah, something like that. And those people apparently go berserk when they're angry.
Yeah. So they're extremely peaceful race of aliens. But apparently there's a thing where if you get them super angry, they'll just fucking go into this, like, uncontrollable berserk mode fucking murder
anything.
Buster.
Shider spends the entire movie trying to keep her the fuck out of the investigation.
Yes.
Because apparently this monster sold a...
Not sold, delivered.
Delivered to the to their enemies.
Yeah.
Delivered to a... planet that was at war with them.
They delivered to an unspecified enemy.
A warhead that blew up their planet.
The Death Star.
So basically, this guy is directly responsible for the destruction of her home planet.
So it's,
pretty graphic.
So this is Han Solo trying to keep Princess Leia away from Darth Vader.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're in space!
So,
They were on Earth.
So they start chasing, Tammy's like, oh, you're talking to girls again, blah, 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 you're cheating on me. He's just like, fuck off, I'm not trying to do anything.
Which you have to admit is a valid point, because apparently he's just like that.
Yeah, he does hit on women a shit ton.
One other woman calls him, so it's not a lie.
So Sharivan's suit, like, I liked Sharivan at first, but honestly, Shider's suit is, like, my favorite design.
I like Shider's armor the least, honestly.
I did notice something, though. Whenever,
despite
like
the fact that it's blue,
it's the weird pattern.
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck between.
It's probably obvious. It was probably obvious to you guys as well. But did you notice that when they do like the posing shots, like they're very chrome.
Yeah.
But then when they're actually fighting, it's like the metals, like the materials, like toned down a bit.
It's because the chrome is all CG'd.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
It has to be.
I never noticed that.
What about Esteban, you guys?
Esteban was amazing.
I loved Esteban.
See, can I just...
Kevin didn't like him.
We had this conversation, me and Lane, during the movie. Where we were wondering... So Tammy's not gonna transform, is she?
I was like, she even is called Uchukeiji Tammy, yeah, but she never mentions.
She is a space sheriff.
Whereas the others were just support.
Yeah, they were like, we had one was a forensic scientist, the other was his assistant.
It pissed me off.
They weren't actually sheriffs, which I understand why they don't transform. Only the sheriffs do that. And Lane's like, oh yeah, but she's like a low-ranking person, you know, she doesn't have armor. And I called bullshit because Estevan.
Yeah, he was a rookie.
He was low rank as fuck, yet he had his own suit of fucking armor. Why doesn't she?
Mm-hmm. It also really pissed me off that we didn't get to see Shelly. I wanted to see Korra, exactly. Damn it.
Yeah. So, and Shider's transformation sequence is actually my favorite, because, like, he does this really cool thing where he goes, like, on his right arm, on his left arm, and then, like,
their
transforms.
Their poses are all the dime a dozen for me, honestly.
They're fucking show up.
Gavon's is the most showy, though, which I really like.
Gavon's is the only one I can remember how to say. Fucking Jochuk. Jochuk. But that's because of Gokaiser.
So they chase down Pita Pita. They find out that the cargo he's been carrying is Hilda. And so,
of course it is.
Yeah. So
because plot significance.
I like how that implies he was just dragging her in a suitcase along the.
No, no, just that part where Tammy like actually drags him out of the fucking truck and then just lets the truck keep fucking going with no driver in it. I'm just like,
and it safely stops on a curb.
It does, yep. But I was watching it the second time. I was just
perfectly
like, oh my
parked
God, Hilda.
In a parking spot.
Yeah.
No, can we just talk about, she yanks him out of the truck, and the truck stops perfectly on a curb in a parking spot. Perfectly parked.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I sat there like, that isn't a fucking parking spot.
So, so PPA decides to stick them together or whatever, like Hilda and Shu together.
Marvel gel.
Then proceeds to beat the shit out of Shu.
Spoilers, it's jizz.
Yeah. He beats the shit out of Shu. And then later on, apparently, they get, like, him and Hilda have, like, a mind link or something, and so she shares his pain, so she gets, like, bruises all over, and she starts feeling,
so
like,
they go to a doctor he knows.
Dr. Annie.
Who
was a former space sheriff.
Who was originally in...
The partner of the old Shider.
Yeah, she was the old Shider's partner.
Which,
you know, is our old school cameo for the movie, because all the other movies had the original space sheriff show up.
Yeah.
We can't have that in this one, considering he's passed away a while ago, so we have his partner instead.
But that's okay. So she breaks the Marvel gel, then Peter Pan is like, oh, fuck you guys, Marvel Space! Sends Shu into Marvel Space.
He activates an Astro Switch and sends him into the Dark Nebula.
And then sends him to, like, a bar where he gets attacked by, like, two drunken
ninjas.
Dudes and ninjas.
That was
masks.
The best. This
two
was the best.
Drunken ninjas.
This was my favorite enemy space ever.
And then sent to, like, a lower staircase in the school where he gets beat up by a bunch of thugs. Proceeds to try to look under the girl's skirt. And then she's like, you're a pervert. And he just kind of stands there, looks towards them, nods his head, and then leaves. And I'm like, oh, so you acknowledge that you're a pervert? Okay.
Well, yeah, he's totally like that.
So then Tammy's like, oh, I'm not going to... is on, like, the ship, and she's like, oh, I'm not going to take this anymore. Fuck, whatever, I'm going to help him. Goes to where he is.
Sorry, by the way, about Tammy overreacting to everything, I like how when they first, like, you know, rescued Hilda from the suitcase... Tammy's first thought was, are you doing something perverted with this girl?
Did you buy her?
No, I didn't. You're acting suspicious. Very suspicious.
Why did you buy a girl? I'm telling you, I didn't.
This is completely unfucking reasonable woman. I'm like, why are you with her? What redeeming quality does she have?
Because she has the cutest smile ever. And she has the cutest smile
there
ever.
There ain't enough pussy in space.
Yeah, there you go.
Really, there ain't.
There's plenty
of...
A lot
of women is green, bruh. You think... Honestly,
some men are okay with that.
Kirk, Stark.
Jack Harkness would fuck anything with that.
I'm like,
Star-Lord.
Kirk, Stark, Quill.
Anyways. So, Shu's being attacked by this giant monster firing a gun at him, and he's like, oh, that's cheating. So then Tammy comes in, just fucking kicks the fucker down, just like that guy from Savers who fucking knocked over
Venomiotis. That is what that kind of reminded me of. She just comes out of nowhere, drop kicks a fucking Megazord enemy.
Mm-hmm.
What, Marcus?
Yeah.
Masaru.
But yes, Marcus.
I stick by the dumb.
I stick by what I said. It's not wrong.
No, so then again, Shu's just like, no, I want, I'm gonna continue this mission alone. Why aren't you telling me what? Like, why can't I come with you? Oh, I have my reasons. Blah blah blah. Fuck off.
I'm desperately not to tell her, but making her want to come along more.
Meanwhile, Gavon.
Because that always works.
Meanwhile, Gavon's like, I don't want to sit around and not do this investigation. I'm gonna figure this out. So he has this like really old nerdy guy or something to help him out with the computer. Gives him like a back rub while doing it. And then Shaivan just comes in. He's like, "The fuck are you doing?"
That was fun.
Gavon gets arrested by the space police.
I like how when you and I were watching the movie, you started to suspect the assistant lady.
What?
Elise, whatever.
That she was horror girl.
That she was.
No. I was saying in the beginning, it was that other person.
No. At the start, you were like, "She looks suspicious."
No, I was seeing the picture.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Anyways, so then Gavon's like trying to get back into the investigation and figure out what's going on, and then he does because Charlie Von comes in while Alina's like interrogating him. It's like, oh, I'll take care of this, whatever. And she's like, what are you talking about? Punches her right in the fucking gut and just like. Now
I've developed a completely illogical streak last movie.
I've quickly noticed drugs. That this is obviously the most entertaining and the silliest of the three Space Sheriff movies. But, like, Gavon was super fucking silly, which was really weird. And, like, Kevin explained earlier that even Charlie Yvonne was, like, a bit silly on his own. He's like, I don't like what you're doing, but I'll just go with you anyway.
It's as though, because it is Scheider, the over-encompassing world becomes silly.
Yeah, but Scheider's, like, the funny one.
Which made it more interesting than anything the first two movies provided.
Because it wasn't taking itself completely fucking seriously.
I completely
like
agree.
Last two.
Right?
It was at least pulling, like, the good kind of toku has that camp value. Where
exactly.
It's not taking itself completely seriously.
There was resolution in the conflict. There was entertainment. Like, it brought everything that it needed to bring for a reboot of a Metal Hero show.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this, Gavon, Sharivan, and Scheider are the first three Metal Heroes.
Yep.
Yes.
So we're watching, like, very metal versions of Ichigo, Nigo, and V3 in space.
Brutal.
Pretty much.
P.O.P. is going with Rita to his, like, spaceship or whatever to go bring her to
Space Ambassador Poe or something like that.
No, Priest Poe, that was his name.
Priest Poe.
Yeah.
At least that's how the subs translated it.
Shu finds him.
Shu.
Tammy decides, I'm not gonna sit around anymore, and decides to go after help Shu again.
Where's Pengu?
They start fighting, and then Peter Pia decides, reveals to Tammy after, like, she comes to help him out. Proceeds to kick ass, actually, really well.
Yeah.
And then he goes, I made sure your world was destroyed, blah, 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 tries to get her pissed off, and she kind of goes rageful for a second, and she was like, oh, fuck, gotta go over to her. Literally just holds out her arm and just like, no, it's okay.
Like, we gotta just make sure we properly elaborate on this. So, the whole plot point with Shu and Tammy this whole movie is he's trying to keep her out of this investigation so she doesn't find out who was the guy who destroyed her home planet and thus go apeshit berserk.
Yeah.
That doesn't work out well. She all finds out anyways, and then she starts to go berserk, but then calms down, and she's like, you should have more faith in me. And then,
space sheriff.
And then, plot twist, the monster had a gun that shot a needle in her neck and made her go fucking berserk anyways.
Yeah.
So this whole thing was completely pointless.
So it's just proceeding to beat the shit out of anything that fucking moves, and then Peter Pan runs. Yeah, Peter Pan runs off, mostly beats up on Shu, and then proceeds to rip off his shirt.
Once again, this is Dante's Abs the movie.
And then does the most awesomest thing that, like, you rarely ever see in toku. Just proceeds to yell, I love you, Tammy, and just straight on fucking kisses her. And I was just like, oh my lord. Like,
because
you
that
rarely
actress
ev-
was very okay yeah, with
you
it.
Rarely ever see romance in tokusatsu. The closest I ever saw was, like, in Kiva with, yes, at the end with Daigo and Ami, but
not having watched that, I've still heard about
it. Yeah. Wataru and whatever the fuck the character's name was in the
No. No, the power of love very much did not save the day.
That nothing happened.
In fact, it fucked everything up.
No, but there was some chemistry there, regardless.
Absolutely. It lasted about 5 episodes.
And I guess Michi might not really, though. Anyway, so it's always see that's two things in Toku that I always love: death and romance. Because those are two things that Toku lack a lot, but when they do it, they fucking do it right, which is awesome.
Speaking of love, another bit of news came up this week regarding the Zangetsu movie.
Oh yeah, Takeru's gonna fuck apparently.
Well, not explicitly stated, but it was said that. In an interview with the actor, apparently the Zangetsu movie has a love scene, and they've highlighted the fact that this is one of the V cinemas, which are usually geared towards adults.
Yes.
Can we just cut for a second? I need to go to the bathroom really, really fast. Can I just run out of the door?
Okay.
Cut here.
Should we wait for you, or?
Yeah.
If you want to. If you want to. Sorry.
Might as well. David, cut this out. Obviously.
I want to get Penguin. He's the coolest.
I like Lamchon. Macho
Madness. I get to do a fight I've done like 15 million times at this point.
Which game?
Monster Hunter. Specifically, a fight I've done about 15 times in a row at this point, so I've kind of got it down pat without needing to really pay too much attention.
Ooh. Apparently with a certain digital watch, you can get the GoldenEye watch face. That's cool. Awesome.
That is also old news. I love you.
Mm, I seem to have one point.
Well, shit, I'm always... You know me, Kevin. I'm always...
He's a year behind.
You're fucking, like, DJ with that shit.
DJ someone made a fan-made HD remake of Paper Mario 1.
Mitch,
yeah, I've been reading on that.
No, I want it.
It's not done
right?
yet, but...
Yeah. I saw that, and I was just like, wait, you're just seeing this now?
I feel like you guys would really like this.
I feel like you were there when we were watching.
I feel like you would really like this.
Which one did you...
We did! 2 years ago!
Which video was that?
The Dame Drops...
Yo, yeah, I saw that post.
The
Dame Drops song.
Yeah.
I saw the 5 years video. I saw that post.
I saw it, and I was like, what? You're just now?
Damn.
I feel like you were here for that. I mean, dude, I know you've been in Korea for the last little while, but I feel like you were there for that.
That's old enough.
We were at Kevin's movie. I first saw it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my damn.
Goodness. Alright, Lugia Chris, eat my fucking axe.
They're going ham.
Eat my axle.
Eat my axe. Break your fucking horns off. That is my aim right now.
I'm hungry.
Specifically targeting.
Now
your
I just
hand.
Want to take that noise you just made on from the recording.
It's in the recording.
And make that your ringtone.
So every time you get like a message or something from me.
I wish I would die from. I would love the ability to customize text message ringtones from person to person.
Why can't you?
Does the my phone? I don't. Can yours do that? Am I Android?
When you
can you? Because I've only seen like a generic notification.
You
sound.
Can set notifications per.
I can set. I know I can set ringtones, but I don't know about notification sounds.
I'm pretty sure. Great sword.
Well you
now you have the sound clip. Yeah. Do some research.
No, I was telling Ichi when he was doing his, like, nailed it debate, I was like, no, you should just have, like, a ringtone, like, from everyone, just of their own personal recording,
yeah.
Them saying, nailed it!
Or the alternative to that was, if I could customize text notifications from people, I'd just get a sound clip of everyone going, Ichi!
How does a woman carry a child in her stomach for 9 months, go through all the pain, hold it in her arms, and end up calling it Laquisha?
That is the question.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Okay. Guilty Gear Exard Sign.
Yuri Lokal as the main character.
He's not the main. He's main antagonist.
Okay, cool.
Well,
he's
one of.
He fights on a bed.
Well,
no, the bed fights and he is on it.
Okay.
Well,
that's so much better.
I am content with how I've done.
That's
apparently,
so
has a
so
one.
Much betting.
He has a one-shot kill move where he
brings
everyone out
has
the enemy's darkest desires and then kills them with that.
So he's that fucking unicorn greed.
But no.
No, it's their darkest.
like, fear, I suppose.
Kevin was fighting, like, this really annoying character, and he was, like, on his last sliver of health, and then she was at full. Literally used this one-shot move, won the match, and I was like, that's cheap.
It pots!
Shinko!
No.
That's not this week.
Whatever, David would take it out anyway, wouldn't you, David?
I said E-pots, not Shoe-pots.
I know. Shoe-pots, Shinko.
Not this week. It's not
anyway. New drive starts tomorrow.
He's out of bacon. It's
tomorrow night.
To be. I know. The fries, they blend so perfectly. The cheese up in here.
Megato!
You keep saying Megato, it's Magato.
Damn.
Megato!
Damn.
The signal box, Magar!
I wish
signal back.
You could smell what I'm smelling.
Skin of a rink.
Damn drop as performed Skin by George W. Bush.
I'm like,
you bat the fry. The fry.
You
bat
oh
back.
My damn.
Is that a thing someone made, or are you just doing that?
No.
That's the song.
Someone should.
I'm someone!
The cheese up in here. It's going ham.
Eat. The cheese up in here is going ham.
This is George Bush.
Damn.
Damn, damn, damn.
Damn, damn.
Oh my goodness.
And he's limp.
Well. I wish you could smell what I'm smelling.
Armadillo.
That's
I'm so glad. Armadillo. I'm so glad many of you are waving with all five fingers.
It's a weird moment. When
At least
know
I can say the word penguin.
That's
it's a weird moment.
Oh, yes.
Have
you ever heard
Benjamin?
No. Have you ever heard Ben and Cumberbatch? He can't say penguins.
Okay.
He says penguins.
Okay.
Penguins.
It's an absolutely strange moment when you know something's limping away, but it's swimming.
Benjamin Denjamin sounds like a really, like, absurd character on the internet. Made by Nathan Barnett because reasons.
Sir, I have straight up fucked your shit up.
I haven't seen anything from him in a while.
He's doing a lot of stuff.
Oh.
You just aren't paying attention.
Correct.
Doesn't he work for Maker?
A lot of people.
I'm like, that describes a lot of people these days.
We almost worked for Maker.
Shay Carl co-founded that.
What
company
stopped us?
Disney.
Your mother.
Disney.
Contract was a little iffy.
Literally, your mother.
We let's just put it this way. That contract was made for people who gross high amounts, and we did, and we don't.
Oh.
So we stood to lose a lot more from that contract than we would have gained.
Oh.
So we stopped. And so I like to laugh about it now and go, we were almost owned by Disney.
Yeah.
That was almost a thing.
Can we go make that timeline happen?
We almost got bought out by Disney.
Jesus.
That's a thing that actually happened.
Well, technically didn't actually happen.
Funny story for the grandkids.
Sorry. Indeed.
Sorry, boys.
I was just regaling the recording that's still going, I believe.
Yep.
Yes.
Of how Ixie Studios almost got bought out by Disney.
Really?
That's actually a thing.
Okay, all right.
You know Maker Studios.
We were asked to join them.
Yeah, we were asked a while ago. We were sent a contract to be part of Maker Studios a while back, and they got it bought out by Disney a while back.
Okay.
After the fact.
All right. Anyways, continuing. So after the kiss, Tammy calms down, and this is where I start to love her, because Chu and Tammy become all coupley, and they start working together, and it's so fucking cute. There's this one moment where, like, they're about to fight, and Chu just, like, raises his arm up as high as he can, and Tammy just, like, jumps up quickly, and high fives
like,
him.
Like, does a cute little jump, lifts her legs while in the air, and just,
I fucking, like, cuteness overloaded, and
I like how,
like,
during the credits you're like, I hope they show that scene immediately shows it.
I know. They proceed to fight. Yeah. They kick ass. They defeat Pita Pita. Then they rescue Hilda. Gabon and Shaibon show up, and they're like,
and then the real plot happens.
Yes, then the real plot happens. So they go back, and then we finally reveal that, oh, surprise, surprise, Hilda is Horror Girl. And she kind of pulls a Kira laugh.
Absolutely. I loved it.
Just, all I could imagine her was just going, Soda.
You mean that same Boku laugh?
Boku got killed.
You mean that same laugh that Horror Girl's been making in the last couple movies?
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, just the, oh yeah, hey, look at that.
So then they're like, oh yeah, Commissioner Gordon, we know you're all behind it. So he disguised himself as Priest Poe so he could, get her or something like that. It was, I don't know why he was doing the brainwashing. Like, I can't remember why. But
she was doing the brain.
Yeah, she was doing brainwashing, but he was behind it too. Like, he knew.
No, he found out about it after the fact and tried to get her the fuck out of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was trying to frame other criminals for it.
Without letting people know that his daughter was a fucking criminal.
Yeah, she apparently did it just for the fucking hell of it because
it was fun.
She was fun. And she was bored. It was really cool. There was like nice tone. Like the Commissioner Gordon actually tried to fucking shoot himself. And Gavon, stopped him, and he was just like, no, you ain't fucking doing that, blah, blah, blah. So then, Hilda's just like, oh, well, fuck you guys, I'm gonna escape into Marvel space. Proceeds to create a portal, but she does it in front of, the power grid, which apparently makes the portal bigger or something, and sucks her in. So then, here comes the epic scene where you have to have all three main characters fucking transform together.
Because this is the final...
As they fight giant Budgie Sinistar.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
This is the final movie of the trilogy. Now, gotta do the tie.
You'll never defeat Andross!
But no, I have to say, the shots were actually really awesome. I liked them. How they just, would show them on their ships, transforming, and then they quickly zoom over to the next panel for the next one.
And it's then when I noticed, yeah, they showed Cece and Tammy, and I'm like, but Shelly's not here. She was the cutest one. Kotoha.
Oh, yeah, I guess she was busy with something else.
Spoilers, they defeat Andross.
Yeah, so you just see, Shiner, in front of Hilda while she's still floating, and it's like, is this what you wanted? This is what you wanted, right? You have more to live for! Come on!
And of course she does an immediate 180 and is sorry and apologetic and, save me!
I'm a bitch!
I'm so sorry!
I'll never have fun again!
I was a dirty, smelly bitch! I'll never quiff again!
proceeds to save her. Everything's all sunshine and rainbows. Until
Shiner gets up and demands their souls.
Until Shiner gets a call from another girl, and it just starts all
sets
again.
Her off
but what's
again.
Funny is he tries to defend, she tries to defend himself with by throwing Gabon and Shiner, which they proceed to grab him.
Take a shot.
Gabon's slapping stomach. Yeah, go here.
Take it.
I'll hold him and you punch.
Just saying.
If you want, we'll spread his legs a bit so you can kick him in the nuts.
Did they do that?
No.
I think the end there, you were commenting on how she's very jealous and possessive and stuff like that. It's a gag. It's a relationship joke.
It really grated by the end of it because there was so much of the same argument.
Stereotypical female character in the show.
No, but I think that's part of the gag of all of their relationships.
No, absolutely, that was the gag, but I'm just saying there was just so much of the same gag, it really grated on me.
Mm-hmm. Did it make you gag?
Alright.
A little bit.
So let's go into our opinions on the Shiner movie, so I'll just quickly go first.
Before we do that, I just want to mention what I teased earlier about the actress who played Hilda.
Mm-hmm.
So her name is Kasumi Yamaya. Apparently she played Rumi Komaki in the Forze Movie War Ultimatum.
Super special powered high school students.
Yeah, and she is going to play Kasumi Momochi in Shuriken Sentai Ninja. Horror Girl is Momo Ninja, the Pink Ranger.
Yay.
It's funny because the character and the actress have the same last name.
Alright.
So it's not. Okay. I'm okay with that.
So
it's not Pink Ranger, it's the Peach Ranger.
It's Momo Ninja. Momo means pink.
Didn't that happen in K-On?
Isn't it?
Momo means pink.
The pink is pink.
Yeah.
They're going by the Japanese words. Japanese word for pink. Okay, pink. Well, then what? Magi Ranger did the same thing.
Momo's peach.
Fuck, you're right. Crap!
So it's not the Pink Ranger because they don't actually have a Japanese word for pink.
Magi Ranger, you lied to me!
They said pink.
No, they said Momoiro no Mahotsukai!
Wasn't Mugi's VA also named Kotobuki?
Yeah.
Yes.
What does that have to do with anything?
The thing where the character is the same name as the person who played them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Might have also been the closest word in the vernacular.
I guess.
Vernacular? That's a divey!
And there's Risei for Persona 4. All almost right. Completely named after their Japanese VA.
Oh, so, Risei, Risei, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. So, I'll start. So, my opinion on the Charter movie, this was I consider it to be the best out of the three.
Damn
my
straight.
Close second is definitely...
That's not an opinion.
My close second is Charlie Bon. Gabon was my least favorite. It was boring. Shatter was entertaining. It was campy at times, but, you know, it kept its humor up, which I liked. The action was actually pretty good. There were a lot of good shots that I really liked. And just fucking Tammy and Shu are just... They're fucking adorable together. Like, I loved it. So it was a great movie. I'd watch it again if the opportunity came about.
What do you mean, if the opportunity came? We have the movie.
I know. Well, if, like, ever someone wants to watch it, like Victoria or someone, then I'll watch it with them.
Well, she's got to get through the first two, then.
Okay. Okay, Evan.
Yeah, best movie of the three. Not exactly a hard decision to make, really.
Right?
Yeah. Definitely, I think Sharagon was my least favorite of the set, though. I liked Gavin way better than I liked that. It was very... The Sharivan movie was very bland in comparison to the other two.
Whereas the Gavon story, while it was on the boring side, it was an exercise in a more serious Toku story.
Exactly.
It at least had something going for it. Sharivan just felt like a follow-up in the seriousness, but it had none of the charm.
Exactly.
I understand where you're coming from.
But yeah, no, pretty decent movie. I hope they kind of keep at this, because it looks like they're getting better with it.
Yeah.
More Space Sheriff movies or more Metal Hero movies at very least.
Yeah, can we have like a reboot of fucking B-Fighters, please? AKA the Beetleborgs.
Can we get the sub of the Kikaider movie? Fuck, I forgot about that.
They do have Kikaider reboot.
Can we get a reboot of Gridman?
Yep.
I want applause.
Applause. Denko Chojin Gridman.
Yeah.
Should I know what that one is?
Superhuman Samurai Cyber
right.
Squad.
Yeah.
The Internet Ultraman.
Tim Curry must be involved.
The Internet Ultraman.
You play Kyokan.
No, we get Japanese Tim Curry.
Is there one of those?
Alright.
No, I'm the one in the room that has no idea what you people are talking about.
Opinions on Shider.
I agree that
it was Shider.
Shider, I barely know it.
No. Please don't, no.
Definitely my favorite of the three.
Once again, not hard.
Yeah. We all went into this movie going, hey, cool, it's Kamen Rider birth while he was away during O's, and it turned out to be a really great movie even on its own. I definitely agree that Sharivan was a little more serious. It kind of felt like, as it went from Gavon to Shider, it started serious and then turned up the silly a little bit in Sharivan, and then it was full-blown in
Shider. Because the serious didn't work out in Sharivan.
No, if you notice, it adapted...
I'm pretty
movie
sure
adapted,
that was it.
No, each movie was in the style of the character. So Gavon was like the super serious. Sharivan was the more aggressive.
The problem in Sharivan.
Fair point.
And then Shider was the silly one.
Comedy.
Yeah. Well, seeing as they haven't announced anymore, I don't know if they're going to do anymore, because when we heard about this movie, like, they announced these the other two movies almost immediately after the first one, so...
Yeah, I didn't expect Shider to be, like, subbed and everything so quickly. Like, I was legit surprised.
That was really quick after we finally got freaking Shider.
Because I just saw on Twitter, oh, Shider movie, it's just been subbed, I'm watching it now. I'm like, I thought we were waiting another year for this thing.
No, they announced them together. We knew their release dates were going to be close.
Oh, huh, okay.
I just didn't expect him to be subbed so quick.
Mm-hmm. Paul.
Okay.
Speaking of subbed things.
Yeah, I'll mention that in a minute.
These Space Sheriff movies, individually, they don't really appeal to me as much as the rest of you guys. I see their appeal, they just don't appeal to me on a movie-by-movie basis.
Let's just be clear about all levels of appeal. Yes, we were entertained by the movies, but I, for one, am not going to go seek out more Uchu Keiji.
Okay.
I wasn't interested in the franchise before. I'm still kind of not. They were just entertaining movies.
See, I might, and here's my point. To me, this trilogy of movies is a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. It's an exercise in the different acting ranges of tokusatsu, from the rather serious to the fucking silly. This movie was an exercise in the fucking silly, but I've been saturated enough in the fucking silly of tokusatsu that that's just pretty much what I expect from it as a genre, at least in parts. Gavin caught me more off guard by being more of a serious film, and that was what I liked about Gavin. The fact that, I agree with you guys with Sharivan, the fact that they tried to combine serious with comedic, it clashed.
It kind of clashed. We have that super serious character, but they're also trying to throw in the gags all over
exactly.
the place. It wasn't working out for it.
Yeah, it was an exercise in contradictions.
Yeah.
And so the second movie was kind of weak because that was where I felt like they were going their most experimental. Because you can do a serious tokusatsu. It's been done before. It's not as though they're pushing any boundaries there. With the second movie, they tried to find a harmony between the two, and that's where it didn't work. This was an exercise in the extremes of tokusatsu and in the range of tokusatsu. It's just, it showed that you can have a story that has both the serious and humorous elements in it as long as you compartmentalize them properly.
Yeah.
In the end, this movie was the silliest of the three, and for it, it worked and was the most accessible to me as a tokusatsu film, simply because, as I said, that's what I've come to expect of it as a genre. However, this film series as a trilogy has impressed me in its variety of what it puts forward. Special effects are pretty good. The suits look really, really nice. I don't dislike any of the suits in this. I don't think any of the Uchukeiji have a bad suit among them. And the story is interesting because it's literally just cops in space, the toku. And it's a simple, elegant, good premise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that I'd go so far as to go back and watch the original shows in their entirety, but I'd definitely give each of them a try. And if they were to reboot and give us more Uchukeiji stuff in the future, like as an ongoing series or as a movie franchise,
no, totally.
I'd pick that up.
Me too.
I'd
honestly, for sure.
Because I've been looking for tokusatsu to watch outside of the big two franchises. You have your, well, you have your Kamen Riders and your Super Sentais, and that's what we mostly watch. I'm okay with Ultraman. It's really hit and miss for me. I think Metal Heroes is something that I could kind of try to enjoy.
I've heard Garo's been kind of lately. It's been going downhill.
If you're into toku for the comedy, then I need to sit all y'all down and finally watch Gun Caliber.
I'm not into toku for the comedy. I'm into
You know what I mean. If that's at least part of what appeals to you.
It isn't so much that it's what appeals to me, it's that I've come to expect it, simply because it's a trope of the genre.
In my case, it's more of an issue of, with the inherent campiness of tokusatsu.
It has to be there.
The comedy is one of those things where you can't take it, it can't take itself completely seriously, there's gotta be something.
Exactly, like I said, there's substance, but there's also a curtain of camp. There's a curtain of camp that you need to look through, and that's part of the reason why I love tokusatsu. Because it makes you work hard to enjoy the story.
Yeah.
But, in the end, these guys are... Metal Hero is overlooked, and I don't think it should be as overlooked as it is. Yeah, it was bigger in the 80s, early 90s, and maybe that was the time when they could pull off more serious shows, like... It was the age of Kamen Rider Black. It was the age of the Showa era and the more serious levels of toku. Like, there were grittier stories back then. I don't want to see a Heisei or Neo-Heisei interpretation of Gavin. I'd like to see an updated version of the show, which is what I'd like to see from Kamen Rider in general. An updated interpretation of what the show started off and was about. And that includes a little bit more seriousness than what they're giving. And honestly, I'm going to pay more attention to Metal Hero from now on. I think it's earned a little respect from me.
Hmm.
Well put.
All
right. Uchukeiji Kaban.
I'm going to keep it short since I feel like there's been everyone touched on something. If I could say something, it's that
if we're going to bother to redesign and bring things to a new generation of Metal Hero and trying to modernize it in that sense, could we please just have gotten rid of Space Diaper?
Yeah.
They all still have Space Diaper.
I know, right?
Yes, that it is an inherent quality but they even bothered to make the original suits, just they made them the exact same, except they made them a very modern, sleeker version of those.
They even actually went to the trouble of designing a new Gavan suit because he was the new Gavan.
But that's what
whereas,
I mean.
Whereas Sharyman and Scheider had the old suits, but even new
Didn't
Gavan.
Didn't they redesign those?
No, I'm would
pretty
have
sure new generations were all revamps.
I would have to double check. The only one I know for a fact that is different is Gavan.
Regardless, Space Diaper.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. That's part could have gotten rid of.
That's part of why I've never paid attention to Metal Hero, is because the designs really scream
in a lot
at me.
In a lot of tokusatsu series, like these Metal Hero outfits, there's more armor plating to them. You'll notice that from as a difference from Riders.
Well, yeah.
There's generally like a codpiece kind of thing on the Rider, sort of thing leading down into the unitard, which has a knee piece and then boot piece, then you got chest piece. I think Space Diaper is just because they need to have those pieces of latex exposed for articulation just of the suit. They need to find some way to make the plates look flush with one another in terms of...
One way or the other.
Yeah.
Just Space Diaper is the problem.
Yeah.
However, whatever ends to the means that is fine. Just Space Diaper.
It's just, I think they wanted to put as much plate on it as possible, so they basically just had the crease where the hips are supposed to be just for the bendability, and it created a lack of, like, you know, flow between the plates. But yeah, it does look like a diaper.
All right. Well, I think we've run on for a long time. Holy shit.
Yeah. Wrap it up, Lane.
Okay. So, apparently the Tokyo Summer movie has been subbed.
Hayane in the movie!
Yes, so next week our special topic will be the Tokyo movie, so yay fun for all.
Yay,
double Tokyo action.
Yay, the Tokyo movie subbed. What the fuck's the guy in Summer movie?
Aesir, Nihon, get your asses in gear!
Also, we'll be watching Drive episode 13 and Tokyo 42.
43. The episodes end with the same number now.
Yes, 43. So that's it. So keep watching, guys.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Follow us at the Ixy Studios Twitter.
Do a Podbean.
Follow us on the castranger.podbean.com.
Mm-hmm. You like Tumblr? Ixy Studios says Tumblr.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yep. All right. Well, bye, everybody.
We'll see you next week.
We got evil to fight. And things to review.
Cast Rangers, roll out!
It's like Cast Rangers, whee!